Welcome to Sounds of the Bazaar. Live from Southampton, live from the Personal Learning Environments 2011 conference. For those of you who didn't hear yesterday, weren't on the broadcast yesterday, we're broadcasting live. There's around 80 people here in Southampton University from, I guess, 20, 30 countries, the USA, all over the place. And to say it's been intensive would be an understatement. Intensive at the conference, lots and lots of talk. Talk continuing outside the official conference sessions. And of course, it was a great social last night where the Radioactive new project I'll be telling you about made its intro with the Radioactive Disco with DJs Andrew Ravenscroft and Dirk Stiergitz switching from radio to live music. They're taking this gig today. And this is the first Sounds of the Bazaar broadcasting in stereo. Stereo sound live to your computer. Anyway, straight on with it because I've got great guests lined up today. Rena, I never know how to pronounce your second name, so you're going to pronounce it. And I'm always scared of pronouncing Finnish names. Rena was our unkeynote speaker, one of our two unkeynote speakers this morning. Rena, do you like to introduce yourself and tell us something about what was the contents of your session?
Thanks, Graham. So my name is Rena Vuorikari. I'm from Finland, and I'm here to represent an organization called European Schoolnet. European Schoolnet is a network of 30 ministries of education, and we help the schools to uptake new technologies and actually change something in schools through the use of new technologies. So what I was talking today about was this idea of teachers' informal collaboration networks, where teachers do, for example, school projects with another school from another country, and how we can actually form networks around that, or networks actually are formed just naturally through that collaboration work, and how, while teachers are engaged in this kind of school collaboration, they actually upskill a lot their competencies, we could say use of new technologies in the classroom, innovative new ways of arranging the learning situations, authentic learning. A lot of times we have language learning projects where pupils actually talk to pupils in another country and they use languages in a real context. There's also project management skills that the teachers acquire through these projects. So all those happen informally while they are doing this project work. So now we are looking at that actually as a really good and interesting way to for teachers' professional development in the future. This is a complementary way, of course, to other ways to have this teacher's PD, which might be seminars or courseworks or anything like that. But this new idea that networks that are there can be used for upskilling is something that we are trying to emphasize.
I think that's really interesting because I did quite a big literature study for LLUK earlier this year, looking on the pedagogic use of technology for learning. And what we found is teachers are pretty competent in using technology for managing the classroom, for handling their own files, etc. But where it all fell down was actually when it came to the pedagogic bit. And we found really that traditional seminar-type professional development wasn't working. So I think we do need to explore these. How are you finding this approach is working at the moment?
Well, the interesting thing is that starting a project, school collaboration project like this, is actually learning by doing for teachers also. When teachers are in normal seminars, we know that they maybe learn some new pedagogical methods there, but we know that the time to implement it in a classroom is really long. But when they are doing e-twinning project, for example, they are implementing it in their classroom right at that moment. So it is very instantaneous. And I think that's very good thing because teachers are also breaking those barriers where they are a little bit afraid of using new technologies. They like to use it for control, but this is actually opening the rein and letting pupils to take maybe the driving seat. And we have very interesting case studies that we have published last year about this pupils' involvement in these school projects, where they are showing the teachers how do we use blogs, how do you actually start the Skype video call, how can we share the desktop, and so on. So there is also that changing role that comes along in this through this project.
Sorry to get you off there, but we've only got one mic here. But the issue is, everyone says teachers don't like being exposed in that situation. Teachers don't like not being the experts.
That's true, but this is just the world that we are living in, and teachers also have to live in the world where they have to accept the change that happens. And we've been talking here a lot about the role of learners, and how they should take this more active role in their own learning through PLEs, for example. It's the same thing, that they can't take that role if teachers don't let them do that. And if it's not built into the school curriculum, it's not built into the assessment process, if it's not built into the policy making, that just can't happen. So there has to be, I wouldn't say that victimize teachers, you know, like they don't want to do this and that. I would say, well, you know, the structures that are there, there's the curriculum requirements. They have to be in a league tables for, you know, how well our school performs. There's all this standardized testing. That puts a lot of pressure. And if that's not relaxed by the policymakers who say, you know, it's actually more important that we change something in education, this is not going to happen. And this is a lot what we do in European SchoolNet. We work on the one hand with schools, but on the other hand, we work also with the policymakers to make that change happening. And we also want to put the triangle in with the researchers who can help us with the evidence from the field, good practices, and so on.
Rina, I could happily talk to you for the whole half-hour program about this because you're in my area. But we have got other people lined up. But if people like me want to find out more about the work you're doing, where can they find this out?
My last name, which was so easy to pronounce and spell also, so you could find me through my last name on the web. It's a unique name, by the way. There's no other Rina Vuorikari on the web but me, so everything about that person is me, privileged. But also europeanschoolnet.org is the organization where I work, and through there you can find information about the projects that I've been talking about, like eTwinning and Telnet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to hand over to Andrew now, who's going to be playing you some music, and then we'll be, don't go away, because we'll be back with more great sounds from Sounds of the Bazaar. Great music is spinning there today. And I've got David with me now, and I really, David Delgado. One of the nice things about coming to these conferences is you get to meet the people you've been following on Twitter, or you've been reading their blogs for ages. I've been following David, I guess, on Twitter for about 2 years now. Never got to meet him. I thought this would be a really interesting geezer to meet, so finally have. Welcome, David. I was at your session yesterday. Yeah. Tell me something about what you were talking about at the PLE conference.
Yes, my presentation was about e-professional, which is an evolution of PLE, not dealing not only with the learning part, but also with the working part. making PLEs help us to improve our work in the workplace. That's what I was talking about.
And we had quite a long discussion yesterday, didn't we, about how we would get acceptance of PLEs. Tell me how you would sell PLEs to employers.
Well, I think it was clear yesterday. It's just if you let your employees use their own tools to improve their work, they're going to work better. They're going to get more performance in their work. It's really obvious, but the reality is the organizations are really scary about those things, about giving freedom to their employees. So you find many organizations that block Facebook, block Twitter, block Delicious, because they think the information is going out from the organization.
But I talk to employers, and especially in the career service, and it's not so much they're worried about information going out, but what they are worried about is how much time this is going to take. Yes, how would you reply to that if I said, okay, I'm an employer, David, I love your PLA, but look, my employees are going to spend all their time on Facebook, not going to do any work. What's the reply to that?
Well, this is a really good question, because in fact they do. They say they spend too much time on Facebook and Twitter. It's a difficult question to answer, but I think they should trust the employees. And they should ask them to be productive, to have improvement in the work. They should work for goals, to achieve objectives. And that's the way they do it is the way they want it. They just should ask for goals and not how much time do you spend in each tool they use.
So we're really saying that the PLE, or the use of social software in the workplace, depends on how you organise the work as a whole. It's going to be productive if you've got that situation of improvement, etc.
Yeah, from the employer's point of view, the critical thing is that they are productive. They do a good job. You know, and that is important to know, to tell them that they have to trust the employees and their let them know that they can use tools outside the job to improve it, and that they need to use data from the outside and to use their time in those tools to improve their jobs.
Just one more question. We just talked about the employers, but the employees, you're suddenly saying they've got to use more software, and they're saying, well, it's all right, I've got my Facebook, but that's for my friends. Why should I use social software in work?
Well, I would thank any kind of software they could use to make a better job. If they make a good relationship through Facebook with other people and they improve their personal learning network, Facebook is perfect. If they use Google to look for information, Google is perfect. If they use pen and pencil and paper, it's perfect. Whatever they use to improve their jobs, it's good. And we can also give them new skills with new tools that they can use to improve even more their jobs.
Thanks very much, David. If people want to learn more about the work you're doing, which is pretty unique, there's not that many people working on this field, how can they find out more about the stuff you're doing?
Well, you can. The center of my PLE, unfortunately, it is right now. It is in Spanish, but I think I'm going to duplicate it in English somehow. And right now, I have it in an ELG installation in www.sociedaditecnologia.org. And I have my profile there. You can look for me there, and my profile appears. And I gather all my information there in my YouTube videos, Flickr, Delicious, my slides, my videos. Everything is there. But unfortunately, this is in Spanish right now.
So if you can read Spanish, don't forget, get over to David's website, his PLE. But also, of course, you can use things like Google Translate, which give a fair impression of any. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you to you.
Okay, and it's over to our techie of the day, Andrew Ravenscroft, who's going to be playing us in some music now.
the PLE launch, and I have Luis Pedro here with me from the University of Aveiro, and yesterday they did a really interesting workshop that involved port wine. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about the workshop?
Yeah, the whole idea was to bring an informal activity within the formal activities of this informal conference. So the whole idea was to put people sharing stories of great learning moments that they had while drinking a glass of port wine. Basically, it was that. And the main result was that we get people to share great learning experience, but also to reflect a little bit about how they could incorporate this digital storytelling thing in their practices as researchers, as teachers, as students, as learners. That was the main idea.
Okay, just another short question before we move on to another music break. Many people might not yet know about SAPUS and the kind of things that you're doing in Portugal. So would you like to give us a brief explanation of the cool things that you're doing there?
Well, it's not easy to make a brief explanation, but essentially SAP Campus is a Web2O integrated platform, services integrated platform, and the whole idea is to provide all the community users a set of tools which they can freely use to share and to follow not only content, but especially to follow people within our university. I don't know, but if that's the case in all universities, but in our university, it happens that we don't know what the colleague in the next door is doing. And we provide this kind of technology that people can use not only to follow content and people, but also to create a personal learning environment. We provide the tools, but people can use it as they want. They can integrate content from outside the university, from inside the university. They can export their content for other tools. And the whole idea is that we don't have any thoughts of shutting down the VLE from the university, but it's another set of technologies that people can use and to promote more openness, more sharing, more community, and more networking between the old university stuff.
Just one last question. What's been your experience here at the conference? What's the feeling of being here again?
Well, this conference is great because it's sort of an unconference. And I cherish a lot the time that I spent here talking outside the workshops and the sessions, because most of these guys are on my PLE, so I know what they are doing. So it's great to catch up and think what we will be doing next year's. Not so much what we have been doing, because I know what people have been doing, sort of. But it's always a great experience to come back and to see all these familiar faces and catch up with friends.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's now over to Andrew again.
Thank you.
Mota and Fernando Costa. They've just conducted a very interesting workshop here at the PLE conference. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about it?
I need to say that we did that with the help of and cooperation of our interviewer, Christina. I think it went pretty well. This was a bit of a radical idea. We came to build a project from scratch in a very complex area with several countries from anywhere in the world. But I think people really engaged in the conversation. We had some very good feedback and ideas. Now the difficult part is to make some sense of the proposals we had and try to find some sort of structure in the process so that people really maintain their engagement and don't get sucked up into all the other activities and things they had to attend to. So let's see how it goes now from here.
Okay. So what are the kind of strategies that you're going to kind of develop to kind of maintain that link and conversation?
I think first we need to clarify some of the points we discussed there. We need to establish some ground basic principles, the kind of things you're going to study, with what approach, propose some of the methodologies that were discussed in there that seem to have more consensus, and then put this out to the people in a way that they can see what we are proposing and contribute to their feedback, make it better. And then, of course, maintain a good flow of information between us all or among us all. So we need some sort of service or ways of finding one another on the net, getting the information on time, being able to put in feedback for everyone else. So using not many tools, but using simple tools that people can use without much fuss. And so really contributing their limited time to making the project go further.
So just one final question about the experience of being back at the PLE conference, although this year in another country. What are the things that you are taking with you to this time?
Well, I've said this many times. This is not an empty compliment. This is my favorite conference because it really fits the way I like to learn, which is by talking to people, interacting, and learning even when you're not thinking about that. You know, I've learned here some things that just came out from spontaneous conversations, because good presentations are nice, but after all, you can read the papers and you get information. What you don't get is all the work, all the hassle, all the difficulties, all the decisions you make until you reach your more clear ideas that you express in a presentation. And that's what I mostly talk about with people, their experience, what they do, how they do it, how they feel about what they do. And it also helps you really build strong connections online, because then it can take a year until you meet the person again. But if you have this relationship, your interaction online goes deeper and much more interesting, I think.
Thank you so much. So over to Andrew.
Listening to Sounds of the Bazaar, the sounds of the summer, the sounds of internet radio, all the best in education and technology, live on Sounds of the Bazaar. Unfortunately, that's it for us from PLE Sue. Don't forget, you can keep watching the Twitter. We're also the conference, one of the rooms in the conference is going out on a live video feed, and we had a lot of people on that feed yesterday. Thanks to all the friends who've been listening in to on the feeds, on Twitter. Twitter tag is hashtag PLE_SOU. And we'll be running through live to the end of the conference about 6 o'clock today. But this is not the end of our radio shows for this week. This week we've got a special program, Radioactive, which is our new project, our new name we're going to be using for some of our broadcasts, broadcasting live from Hackney in London as part of a workshop on how to use internet radio. We hope you'll enjoy the show. That's going out live at 15:30 UK time, 16:30 Central European time on Friday on exactly the same channel you're listening to now. So please come back and enjoy that show. And we'll be broadcasting live again next week from Porto, from the Gary Chapman Summer School. And we'll be announcing on Facebook and on the web the exact time of that broadcast. Well, that's it for today then. It just remains for me to thank the organisers of the conference, to thank all the people who have come on the show, to thank our guest presenters. Yesterday we had Maria, and today Christina Costa took over as our guest presenter. Brilliant show, Christina. Thanks. And to thank all of the listeners, and of course to thank our resident techie Dirk Stiergitz and our new techie Andrew Ravenscroft. Great stuff. This is Graham Atwell signing out from PLE in Southampton.